Are we ready?
We're ready in 3, 2, 1. Take it away.
You know, I was going to say our normal entry, like, hey guys, how you going? But yeah. I thought, since it's been a while, and as a personal request from a client, I'll start the show.
Okay.
Like this. All right, I'm just a little bit nervous. You ready?
Okay.
Look at your face. It's hilarious.
I'm just like, what? I feel like a deer in headlights right now. I'm like, I thought you were about to say hi.
Well, I was going to say, remember how we were like supposed to start a show, what, like Bruce, like Michael and Bruce Buffer?
Okay.
And we are live from the JTW studios, standing across from me, weighing a tremendous 225 shredded pounds, 6'3". He is the Hungarian prince, or the Slavic prince, Ivan C.L.G. That's my co-host. So you're supposed to return the favor now.
All right. I'm not. Jesus.
I'm kidding, man. I'm kidding. You know what?
And standing to his left, weighing in at 200. And how many do I weigh?
225 shredded pounds, I said.
227 shredded pounds. He's got the voice. He's got the look. He brings the energy to the podcast.
Oh, yes. I like that.
Daniel Ribeiro.
Yeah.
Roll the intro.
My name's Ivan, and I'm a scientist by day and a writer by night.
And I'm Daniel. I'm a neuromuscular therapist, and I run my own practice.
And you're listening to the weekly podcast, Journey to Wherever.
Enjoy the show.
Do you like that one?
No, you put me on the spot.
I know. I thought I'd put you on the spot today.
How many kilos is 225 pounds?
It's like...
And there's no way I break 6 foot, whatever you said.
I just rolled that in.
You said 6 foot. I'm like, fuck, man, this is Ivan Drago style pulling up right now.
I think from memory, 200 pounds-ish is like 90 kilograms. So 225 would be like 100 kilos of like just shredded.
Mate, can you imagine if we were 100 kilos shredded?
Shredded?
Damn. Man,
that's just like a wildebeast.
I got to drink some shredded more protein shakes to catch up.
Hey,
I got to drink some more protein shakes to catch up to get to that level of cut.
All
so
right.
So did someone request that? Did they?
Well, no. Someone said, "Oh, you guys would do that whole like Bruce Buffer thing really good. You should do it one day." And I was like, "Yeah, yeah, we'll get there." And then like he saw me again. And he's like, "You guys still haven't done it." And I was like, "All right, fine, we'll do it tonight."
I wasn't even prepared. I should have worked up my.
That's right. We could do it.
Should have gone prepared my voice.
I thought you were gonna roll it off there.
Ribeiro.
Episode 63, man. How's your week?
It is 63. Mate, my week's been you know what?
What?
After that intro,
yeah.
I feel energized.
Yeah.
But to be honest,
yeah.
My week's been a struggle.
It's been a struggle.
It's been I am feeling the burnout finally come on.
Yeah.
Towards the end of the year. I need a break.
Yes.
It feels like every task that I'm trying to do during the day, it feels like I'm swimming through mud.
My one is I know I'm swimming through mud or I'm feeling the burnout when I'm hitting the snooze button in the morning.
I do that.
I am not a snooze hitter. I'm like maybe one tap snooze and then I'm like, I'll kind of get up 2 minutes into that tap.
Yeah.
But I'm like tapping it like three times.
Wow.
So
it's not like you.
No, I just think this year in particular, without, you know, getting into the boring stuff, it's been an intense, like just the intensity has been consistent. There has been no lulls, there's been no crazy peaks, but there's just this pace.
I feel like it's been very much pulling from lots of different areas.
So yeah.
You constantly feel like you tugged left or right, trying to like... attend to fix
a lot of different
deal
things.
With manage just stuff.
It's just stuff that are constantly kind of pulling you, you know, in different directions.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So in saying that, like it's generally around that time of the year for me personally, I think for you as well, where we kind of come off peak, so to speak.
Yeah.
And it's where we are entering hashtag unicorn mode.
Yeah. You got 3 weeks off?
Not, we're not taking the podcast offline, by the way.
No, no, podcast is going strong.
But
for those who still want to listen to us, for those who still want to listen to us, well, during our overseas break. Listeners will still be listening, I think. But the Australian listeners might drop off a little bit, I would say.
Yeah, it tends to get a little bit quieter.
A little bit quieter around the Christmas period.
Yeah.
Sorry, you were going to say? Yeah, my time off. Yeah. Yes, I've been a bit more generous to myself this time around because I just didn't have any break at all this year. So yeah, about 3 weeks, and a bit-ish, something like that. So I'm pumped for that,
mate. You'll be on fire after you finish the after your break time. You'll be fully recharged.
So we also need to organize a camping trip. That's what I was going to... I thought I'd air some private stuff on the
We certainly do, because we have been talking about it. Speaking of camping...
Yeah.
Shout out again to our mate Scotty.
Scotty.
Yeah. Scotty listened to the podcast.
What's his YouTube thing called again?
Scotty's
Gone Walkabout.
So he actually listened to the show and was very thankful for our shout out.
It was good. I kind of felt bad for Scotty because he had to listen to the whole show, like the whole show, to get to the shout out right at the end. Scotty, you know what? We owe you a shout out right from the get.
Yeah.
Scotty goes walkabouts.
Scotty's Gone Walkabouts.
Everything camping, outdoorsy,
bushcraft,
walking, all that kind of jazz.
But, you know, he listened to the show, gave some really nice feedback, and was also very appreciative. So, yes.
Awesome, man.
But that was speaking of camp. But no, you and I do have to organize one. I know we said it a few times, and I know we've talked about it.
I think my boys are, maybe Maxwell's borderline, but the boys are just old enough to, like, really appreciate the outdoors.
To appreciate it, yes, but not to go. They could go when they're really little. Kids can go when they're like really
little. I know they can,
but they'll remember and appreciate it.
That's what I meant. Could have taken 2 years ago, but it's like they're not going to like appreciate what the outdoors has to offer. Very cliche, right?
They'll remember it now. They'll remember it more.
They'll remember the whole putting the tent together and the campfire and the sitting around and the marshmallows and all that kind of stuff. Whereas when they're little, they want to play with their toys. They want to like be entertained. They're tired. So they're not really appreciating the outdoors.
Well, let's take this offline and... after the show or at some point in the next couple of weeks.
We'll figure it out.
And let's tee up a time in the calendar.
Yes.
Because if we don't schedule it,
it doesn't happen. I know.
So maybe sometime in January. I'll throw the challenge at you to try and see if you got a weekend. Even if it's just one night, man.
No, one. Oh, that's what I'm saying. One night.
I don't know if the
kids will be able... I think we could do more than one night, but I don't know if the kids...
Mine can do a couple.
Yours could do?
100%. They're banging out together, man. They can't wait.
More than one night, you reckon?
Yeah. We went... I think we did two last time, the first time we took them.
That was cabining, though.
No,
that
wasn't tents.
Tents?
Yeah.
Maybe your boys. I don't know. Maybe your kids. I don't know about my boys. I'm not sure. They've never done it, so who knows? They might really...
That's what I mean by... Even if it's just one night to start with.
Just to kind of test the waters.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
And so I'm sure we can spare a weekend.
All right, sweet. We could do that for sure.
Yeah, man.
So... True to JTW style, we haven't prepared for... Well, I kind of prepared for a topic at hand.
Yeah.
You don't really know what's going on.
I have no idea, man. You said, oh, should I tell? I want to tell a story, whatever else you said. And I was like, man, just throw it at me.
Because it's much better. We want it to come across as genuine as possible so it doesn't come... So that it's not, you know... So it doesn't seem like it's pre-scripted in a sense. So I took a page out of your book from what you said last week about how I should go back into our archives and listen to one of our shows.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So I did the whole... Like, I felt really good about this, right? So, you know when you're picking something at random...
Did you just scroll through and just land your finger on something?
Yeah, I did. You know, like, rush through... You go,
I've done
you
that. Go, that's pretty good.
And stop. I was like, damn. Like, that's a long flick.
Let me guess the number.
Okay.
27.
No. A little bit further down. Really? A little bit further
17.
Down. 17. Closer. But I landed on episode...
Tell me the number and I'll try and guess the title.
Okay. All right. 15.
What do we talk about episode 15? It's got something to do with achievement and stuff.
No. No, it
you
was.
Said it, it's like, your face was just like, no, you fucking failed, no.
No, I didn't mean like that, but I just went, I was kind of hoping you'd get it. I'm like, no, you didn't get it. But that's all right, when I landed on it, I was like, oh, did we talk about episode 15?
I didn't even know half the stuff we talk about that far back.
Anyways, episode 15 was kind of like, it was our first episode for the new year.
Okay.
2020, right?
Was it?
Yeah, so like...
This is timely.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So, but at the same time, you should actually go back and listen to the first, like, maybe 10 minutes, and you'll probably, it'll be met with a lot of scuffs, like, like, as if, like, it'll be met with a lot of that, because this is all, and again, disclaimer, this is not a COVID episode or a Silver Linings COVID episode. It's just the fact of...
Was that the title of the show?
We were like, I think it was something along the lines of... Why you should adopt? I should remember, it was why you should adopt this method instead of goal setting or something. Was it like a goal?
That's what I meant by ambition.
I don't know. No, it was New Year's
resolutions versus goal setting or something. It was
something along the lines of, you know, why you should adopt this method.
Okay,
meaning listen to the show as opposed to setting your traditional goals.
Okay,
but we kind of start to ramble on about, oh man, you know, especially you. Actually, it was quite funny. He kept saying, like, oh, you know, 2020, man, it's just got such a good ring to it, you know? It's got such a good ring to it. I'm like, and I'm like flowing, I'm flying off the back of you. I'm kind of like coattailing you. I'm like, yeah, man, yeah, it does. Like, I'm like just fluffing it up big time, you know? And you're like, yeah, and it's like, you know, it's
you know
just
that
like
meme 2019. Where the guy's laughing? He's like, yeah, he points and laughs. Meme's laughing at us.
No. They should, you know, the Leonardo DiCaprio one where he's holding that
mask. That's what I'm talking about. There, yeah. Not the one from the
not
Vegas
thing. Not Zach Galifianakis. That guy, yeah.
Not that one.
Anyways, you're like, yeah, man, 2020's got a good ring. Look, you know, I think for a lot of people, 2019 was just like, in other words, you were trying to say it was just shit, and 2020's going to be good, and, you know, it's just got a good sound to it. And it was all this kind of like stuff. And, you know, obviously, in hindsight, you're looking back and you think, wow. Like, if you really, like, just listening to the first 15 minutes of the episode.
Yeah.
You go back, and you can always do that with most years anyways, right? You can kind of reflect and look back in hindsight at what you would say, and then you go, oh, that's a little bit different. But this was like so far left field in our wave of thought patterns that we didn't even, and when I say we, the world had no idea what we were just about to enter, essentially. Because I think we recorded, it was like the first week of January, right?
And there was only just talk at the time about a virus.
A virus. And again, disclaimer, this is not going to be coronavirus episode. It's just, I'll slowly build into it what we're going to talk about. But it was just funny how we kept harping on about 2020. It's got a good ring. It's got this. And we're just pumped, as most people are, when you're entering a new year, yeah. Right? So, fast forward a few weeks, world goes crazy, okay? And all this happens and whatnot, and everyone's going nuts, and still parts of the world, excluding Australia, are still going nuts, okay? Yeah. But it's funny, I had a conversation, probably two separate conversations with two different people, and the more and more... That these last two conversations kind of capped off a whole heap of other conversations I've had over the past, say, 6 to 9 months, where collectively, I think most people that I've spoken to have said exactly what we had said at the start of 2020, which was, it feels like it's going to be a really good year.
Mm.
It's good. It's good. It's got a good ring to it. I'm planning all this stuff and I feel good about it. And and everyone that I've spoken to has had somewhat of a really good year, like work-wise, relationship-wise, new jobs. Maybe the fact that coronavirus came in and their industry went bust, or then they had to find a new industry to go into, and now they're in something that they absolutely love. Collectively, when I speak to most people are more happier than what they were before coronavirus started, and even after it's still here.
Yeah.
And it kind of made me think, it's like, it's been, I think, it does, things happen in different countries. We had the bushfires here. In some countries, there's earthquakes, there's tornadoes. There's certain things that happen that impact a nation or impact a certain culture. And you look from afar, you watch the news and you think, oh, geez, that's bad. Oh, I feel for those people. You switch the telly off and you kind of go about your day. Mm-hmm. This thing that's happened has collectively impacted every single person in this world, right? It's special. It's if you think about it, a really special thing that's happened, if you think about it, where the world can all relate
to the same,
thing. Yeah. Okay. Which kind of brings me to my point. It's like we're always, people are always talking about staying focused, being, you know, goals in mind, things that you want to do, things that you want to accomplish, relationships. It could be anything. It doesn't even have to be business. It could just be, I need to get my freaking gutters cleaned, whatever. Do you know what I mean? Mm. I almost feel like, using the coronavirus as an example, that sometimes a distraction is a refocus.
Mm.
When we look at, the way we look at distractions, we try to avoid distractions, to its deepest, so that we can stay on track of our goals. But if you look at how collectively this is constantly, and we said at the start of this episode, there's been things that have been constantly pulling us back and forth that's made us exhausted because we're on track of completing and having a good year, but there's always something bringing us on track going, hey, don't get too comfortable. Mm. There's another case, or hey, don't get too comfortable. There's this happening. It's constantly keeping you in check.
Mm.
So my question is, I know, and I'm sure you'll have an opinion for it, are distractions necessary?
Hmm. That's a very interesting question.
Yeah.
Well, I will probably have an opinion on the matter. now, just to reflect on a few things you said before we dive into that, I totally agree.
Yeah.
With the, what's the word? Sentiment. Is that a correct word? Is that a real word? Sentiment that everyone you've been speaking to has experienced.
Yeah.
I've said it many times before, and I'm actually very strong about it when I say it.
Yeah.
That I know that this year has probably been a challenging year for many people, particularly those who lose their job, because that's probably one of the biggest. If anyone's experienced something of an impact, it's probably one, losing job.
Yeah.
Or in the unfortunate event, although statistically small when you look at the grand number, but is just as much impactful if someone's actually lost a loved one.
Yes.
Those two things would be the hardest things that people have had to deal with this, you know, this year.
Yeah.
And I empathize with that.
Yeah.
That kind of aside, I am of the strong opinion that for me personally, this year has been probably the greatest year, or one of the greatest years of my life. And I don't say that lightly. There's been so much that has happened, COVID related and not, right? Yep. Just in general this COVID's year.
In small terms, the distraction.
Yeah. And it's been the greatest year. Huh. And I've probably written my most impactful, reflective piece this year from my own blog. And it's based on the very fact that I don't want this year to end.
Mm.
And the piece was titled Scared to Let Go. And it's based on that idea of, I don't want to leave this time. I don't want to leave the distraction.
Yeah.
I don't want to leave the collective challenge that everybody's facing, because
we're all facing it at exactly the same time. I don't mean to interrupt, but like, it almost feels like a collective energy from everyone is pulling towards a direction of like just, what's the word I'm looking for? Like an overall betterness of everyone's, wherever they are, doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but like essentially,
the
like,
distractions caused a collective improvement.
Yes.
And as I said, I don't take it lightly when I say that, but it has forced me to stop for the first time ever.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing has caused me to be able to stop, because I've always found it difficult to slow down and be present.
Mm-hmm.
I've stopped setting goals and New Year's resolutions and all this stuff.
Which we didn't at the start of that episode. We didn't at that start of the episode. If you can remember, you set a theme.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And
which was like really cool. I thought it was a pretty cool idea.
Yeah, it's about theme. And one time, I think one of my themes was something along the lines of just being more present. Well, but no matter how hard I tried, I couldn't force myself to stop.
Yeah.
I needed something
to
shift me.
Yeah.
And this year shifted me.
Yeah. It has for a lot of people, man.
It has. It certainly has.
Yeah.
And
I think it's because it's made people, a lot of people, relatable to each other. Because a lot of people will go through certain things and someone might be just like flying absolutely high, but not be relating to what that person's struggles might be going through. But because we're all going through the same thing, it's almost like, again, we collectively like pushing each other to just get to wherever we need to get to.
Yeah.
You know? And it kind of, that's why I pose the question. It's like, the more I think about like when things like this happen, or just even on a smaller scale, it's like, it's almost like maybe the distraction, a distraction, or like when I say a distraction, a hurdle, is a good refocus. Because I just feel like in general, everyone, when people have a distraction or a focus, they don't become so self-centered, so self-minded on their own approach. They become a little bit more aware of their surroundings. Like, yeah, okay, I might be going good, but they're kind of like, they're a bit more conscious about how can I improve that person or how can I better this situation. They just want it's like a refocus. It's like a, what's that thing do when you're with the camera? Like, you know, the word, like when you zoom into something and then it kind of blurs, but then it refocuses.
So, yeah, you're focusing.
Yeah, well, okay, focusing, yeah. So it's like a refocus. You know how you can sometimes gaze at something for such a long time, it almost becomes blurry?
Yeah.
But if you kind of look away and look back, you go, oh, I can almost see it clearer now. It's almost like the distraction is almost necessary in order.
I know what you're saying. On camera terms, that's when you're focusing on something else and then something else becomes blurry because you're not focused on it because of depth of field.
That's what I was trying to say.
If you're focusing on something else, everything else becomes blurry and it's not until you reshift what you're looking at.
Yes.
That the other stuff becomes blurry and you can rechange your focus of what's actually in front of you.
I couldn't have worded it any better. That's exactly what I'm trying to say. For those people that, you know, understand the camera terminology and stuff.
Bokeh
is what it is.
Bokeh, yeah. No, that's...
Do you know what I'm trying to say?
I know that's the blurry light blurs that you get in a picture in the background.
But do you know what I'm
trying to say? I know exactly what you're saying. It's a good point. It's interesting because when... I might actually go back and listen to that episode. I'm curious to kind of hear what we were saying. The reason why is because the other night, I just, again, out of being distracted this whole year and, again, slowing down, I found myself in a point of reflection where I was like, a lot happens in a year and a lot happens in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I never get scared of going into the next year, but I've always got a little bit of angst.
Okay.
Because... today, I'm pretty confident, touch wood. I don't like speaking things into reality because, you know, I get scared of that because sometimes I believe in that can happen. But it's day to day in the short term, things are pretty good.
Yeah.
Things are okay. But it's not until you look back on 12 months and you go, I would never have pictured that.
Yeah.
Like, or would never have visioned that that could have happened or that all those things, right? And it's quite easy to look back and pick out all the crappy things that have happened this year because there's a plethora of them. There's a reasonable number of things that for most people, if they really wrote a list of it, I could quite rightly say, oh shit, this was the worst year of my life.
Yeah.
But I'm choosing to focus on the good stuff because they're overwhelmingly good.
The perspective.
They're overwhelmingly good. And because it slowed me down, me personally, I've been able to feel the good feeling that they can offer because I've been forced to slow down. However, I sat down in the lounge and I was just pulled out my Evernote and I was writing a list of things and I wanted to write all the good things that have happened this year. And the list quite quickly got to like 30 things I was able to just ramble off.
Mm-hmm.
And there were big things that have happened this year that I look back on and I was like, wow, if that's the amount of good things that can happen this year, imagine what can happen next.
Yeah.
So
that's essentially the point I'm getting at. Like, I feel like that, I'm using the term distraction. You can use whatever you want, but the distraction has enabled you to constantly recalibrate and understand the good stuff.
Yeah.
And understand that a lot of things happen in a year. It's so easy in a year unlike 2020 to, you know, let's just say 2019 or 2018 or whatever to go back and just forget and realize, oh, shit, that happened? Oh, yeah, that's right. That happened back in February or March. And then you, it's so easy to just to tunnel vision, look at the one thing mm-hmm. and realize that so many things
happen.
And I feel like once the year that it has been has forced us to appreciate all of it.
Mm.
Like all of it. You know what I mean? Mm. So it's kind of, I almost feel like mythically, I know you can't, you know, you can't search for distractions. You can't really plan for a distraction because that's not what a distraction is. You can't like, oh, let me just, you know, set this thing up so it can distract me. Like distractions are just one of those things that happen to you.
You could call them distractions. You could call it like speed bumps, roadblocks, whatever, hitting a wall. Right?
You can't plan detours, distractions, but it's almost like whatever. What I'm essentially trying to say on a philosophical sense, it's like absorb the distraction, absorb the speed hump. Don't try to go, oh shit, it is what it is, just trying to move on. Like, understand what it is, understand what it does, and then like also comprehend the feelings that you're experiencing at that time as well, good or bad, you know? Because I feel like we tend to just kind of try and shrug things off a lot, you know? And the reason why I'm kind of like, in a sense, I'm saying this and I kind of feel a bit like I kind of just, you know, hold myself back in a sense. Like, there's been just a lot of shit that happens to people, you know?
Mm.
And when you listen to other people's stuff, you kind of, it's a good way to, in a selfish way, yeah, to make you go, fuck, I've actually got it all right then.
Yeah.
You know? And I've got the fortunate and at the same time unfortunate task of listening to a lot of people's, well, their first complaint is their physical ailments, which then transcends into a lot of their mental ailments as well. And you realize like how impactful a lot of these things could be.
Mm.
But collectively, they all say how much they've been aware of everything that's happening. Like every single thing. They haven't forgotten things. And I feel like everyone that we're speaking to is exhausted right now. Because they're trying to, like, their body and their mind is keeping all this information stored in a sense, because they're constantly recalibrating and reminding themselves of everything that's happening because there's been so many speed humps and distractions. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it kind of, you kind of enlightened me and the thought came to mind because we were talking about that. And I think, I mean, I typically get burnt out towards this time of year. I know you do as well. And it is aligned with the whole peak thing. But there, I think the collective is of people are a little exhausted by this year. And the thing that comes to mind is I think people are overly sensitized to everything.
Mm-hmm.
Which, so that because they've been in a position where they've had to slow down, they've been forced to experience things, you know, they've been in quarantine, they've been in lockdown, they've been in a house where they've got to spend more time with the people that they always spend it with.
Yeah.
There's nowhere to go except the four walls.
Yeah.
So you have to adapt. People have had to adapt and adjust and slow down. And the days go longer for some people.
Yeah.
Which means they're going to become more sensitive to things around them. That's right. Environment.
Their environment has become like this. It's just kind of like scoped in.
It does.
You micromanage every single thing that's happening within these walls because that's all it is now.
Yeah. And it's in not their all entire this life.
Other noise. Yeah. You know?
And I think that process, if you're able to get out and especially for extroverts.
Yeah.
And for people that rely on getting their energy from the outside, activities, adventure.
People.
Going out, people, and they haven't had it.
Yeah.
They're going to get exhausted because they're not able to go and get their energy. Introverts are probably most energized they've ever been because they're in their element. They're at home.
Yeah.
And able to be with themselves and reflect, which brings more nurture to them. But for those that aren't, they're equally probably sensitive because and heightened in emotions because they haven't been able to express a lot of it and re-energize a lot of stuff.
Mm. Like, it's funny you said that and you're right. A lot of extroverts struggled. A lot of introverts thrived.
Yeah.
But at the same time, a lot of extroverts have picked up skills that they didn't know they had that are introverted-like skills.
Yeah.
And introverts who have essentially banked up all this introvertness of being alone have almost picked up skills of how to, like, because they're now enjoying face-to-face communication, because, you know, in this country, for at least is allowed, so to speak. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, like, they've been able to benefit from both. And it's funny you say that. Like, one of the stories you shared in that podcast was that we hadn't seen each other for, like, 2 weeks almost, because you guys spent, and you used the word isolation, which was funny.
Ridiculous. I remember it. We were talking about it this week.
You used the word isolation because, unfortunately, you guys got struck with like a stomach bug type thing, which meant you guys had to essentially spend New Year's just you guys, right?
Yeah.
But you used those terms like, oh, we spent together. It was isolation, but it was great. It was with the family. It was just us, and it was like, listening to that now, it's just like, wow, that's just almost like, for you guys, in a sense, it was almost like a little...
Speaking it into reality.
Yeah.
It was just bizarre.
It was just really
bizarre. I remember that.
Driving this morning, I'm like, what the fuck? That's just weird, man. Yeah. It's so weird. Like, no one spends New Year's Eve by themselves unless they... Well, in a perfect situation, unless they have to. And you guys, in a sense, you didn't have to, but you did the right thing because your kids went well.
Well, they became sick.
They were sick.
Because I think we had gone to the pools or something a couple of days before it, and I think they picked up like a stomach bug from the pool.
Yeah.
And we were stuck at home because the kids got sick. So the kids fell asleep on the couch. We were at home watching the fireworks on TV. Midnight ticked over and we're like, well, all right.
Yeah.
Happy New Year.
Yeah.
And it was a real letdown because we wanted to go and explore it and enjoy, you know, being with family and stuff, but we just stayed at home.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget it because I enjoyed being able to sit there and the kids all fell asleep on the couch next to us when both Nat and I were just sitting there together watching TV. But it's funny, even Nat and I were saying, like, this year, we are not going to the pool in the month of December at all.
Fair enough.
Between now until we go away on our getaway, between Christmas and New Year, because where we're going, there is like pools and beach and stuff.
Yeah.
We're not going to the pool because this New Year and this Christmas period, we do not want the kids to get sick.
Yeah, fair
enough.
And
at the moment, the gastrovirus...
it's just rampant.
It is in Sydney at the moment.
Oh, great.
It's just really reared its shitty head.
No pun intended. But yeah, like, do you know what I mean? There's a lot of things listening to that episode and listening to just like how we spoke at the start and the stories that you shared and every, like, it's almost like everything came kind of like tunneling into this one thought process today for me. And it was just, I don't know. I was just kind of, and I just started to think like, rather than maybe look at distractions or speed humps or whatever it is in a negative sense, go, oh, you know, I wonder why, like, depending on what you believe in, whether it's the universe sending you a message or whatever it is.
What's the old adage?
Huh?
Maybe it's meant to be.
Maybe it's meant to be.
I hated that comment before that statement.
But,
it's the only thing people could say to give comfort to someone.
Yeah.
But...
what else are you supposed to say, though?
I know, but that's one of the things that was annoying.
Yeah.
But now it's almost like...
but maybe
there's it was.
And maybe it was, but like on an everyday standpoint, moving forward to 2021, 2022, and so on, it's like, should we implore... like I think I am from here on. I'd love to know your opinion on it. Like, what's your... like, do you feel like, after listening to everything that we've just spoken about, do you feel like we should... what's the word I'm looking for here? Like, not glorify, but like
embrace.
Maybe embrace, but maybe, yeah. Let's just say, let's use the word embrace. Embrace the speed hump, the speed humps that occur.
I think in some situations,
regardless of what the speed hump is, it could be something really tragic and really shit. But should we embrace it? Is what I'm trying to ask.
It's a new question. I've never thought about it in that regard.
Embrace the speed
and having, hump. I mean, thinking about it now in real time, having done it this year, I would say it's been fruitful.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's been benefits of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, I've always looked at it as though, oh, it's a hurdle. Navigate my way around it or out of it. And that's because I've had choice, though. I've been able to navigate. Whereas in the situation we are in now, sometimes there wasn't a choice. And for many people, it's like, sorry, don't come to work tomorrow because we can't afford to pay you.
Yeah.
So people have literally woken up and gone, what do I do now?
Yeah.
So they've had no choice. So they've had to embrace or engage in the thinking process around what are they going to do?
Yeah.
And they've had to face things head on.
Mm.
They've had to try and come up with a solution. They've had to reach out to support networks. Yeah. They've had to rely on, depending on what country they're in, the government.
Yeah.
And so if they've had the choice, I'm sure they probably would have done things a little bit different.
Yeah.
But for many people, they didn't have the choice. Would I find myself in a situation now where there's a hurdle? Would I consciously say, well, what does this mean?
Yeah.
More?
Yeah.
Maybe now?
Yeah.
Now that I'm thinking about it, or like consciously, that I'm in this situation thinking about it, I could. But while I'm telling you that, another thing comes to mind is there's an element of fear there, though.
Yeah. Well, this is what I'm... This is ultimately...
Because I'm very much used to going, all right, I'm going to take control now and deal with this situation.
Yeah.
Whereas when I've been forced in it, it's bizarre.
Yeah.
It's almost like while the rest of the world has also had to go through the experience, I quite commonly found myself saying to even to my wife, I'm like, you know what, Nat? Everyone's in the same situation right now. We have no choice.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, just let it be.
Yeah.
And that's been, to the point of the last episode, the event and the collective group of people, this is going to get real meta, the event and the collective group of people and experience was the safety net.
Mm.
So you could afford to fall back on the emotion and feel what you felt at the time and deal with it, or step back, not deal with it, and let the chips fall where they did.
Yeah.
Whereas when you don't have that forced upon you, imposed experience, which has now become your safety net, people like you and I who are ambitious can go and navigate the shit that's in front of us.
Yeah.
See, it's a real dichotomy. It's a challenge.
But like, it also teaches those who aren't ambitious to force the ambition as well. Because, like you said, the safety net of that we all collectively have. This is why I did the podcast with you, because you took something. I had like something ready to go, waiting for a pause, whilst you were talking. Fear, because a lot of the times distractions, hurdles, speed bumps, are exactly that, and it's generally met with disdain.
Mm.
And then if it's a really bad one, it's generally met with, oh shit, what now?
Mm.
Fear. It's like, would it teach more fearless thinking, more of an ambitious way of knowing how to deal with things, you know? Like, it's very easy at the start when all this was happening, everybody, including myself, everybody was shitting bricks because nobody knew what the hell was going on.
Mm.
And the thought of, you know, like, I know, I speak for myself, when that happened, like...
As a business owner, you wonder what's it going to be like.
I was like, what's this going to mean like, for I'm people? I'm fortunate that my business, being in allied health, I'm not considered frontline. Like, I'm not a doctor or a nurse, but the doctors and nurses and hospitals rely on allied health to ease the load on the hospital systems.
Mm.
So I was fortunate enough that my business was considered essential.
Mm.
And open for people that are needed for physical, mental health, all that kind of stuff.
Mm.
But up until it was clarified as essential,
There were questions. Yeah, like many people.
And it's just like, holy shit. You know, like, there's this real sense of like, and at the time, I got this over, like, massively, like, it's something I've never experienced before, this overwhelming ambition to go, you know what, I'm going to work the house down. It wasn't like, I want to work like, you know, 15 hours a day. That's not what I mean. I was like, I want to, like, I'm taking everything in. It was almost like, come on, give me what you got. Whoever it was, the universe, you know what I mean?
Mm.
And it's like, and I think because it was such a big, big distraction, speed hump, whatever, I kind of look at it now, I'm like, yeah, that's probably the way we should all look at that type of thing, you know? Mm. It's...
Are you suggesting to kind of embrace that thought process and way of dealing with things that come up, even in times where it wouldn't resemble 2020, and it might be actually an easier time, or it's not as tumultuous. It's just a normal experience, a normal challenge. Are you proposing that maybe it's good to also take on those new challenges the same way we have this year?
Yeah.
Mm, yes. Interesting.
Yeah, like just like almost
it takes a leap of faith to do that again, to because of my point of safety net.
Yeah, like you're right.
It's an interesting thing.
But it's almost like, you know how more like in, like it's very much like a matador type thing. You know what I mean? Like when a bull's coming at you, you want to kind of like, you know, turn to the side and let him miss you, but collect the red cape. Mm. I'm almost saying like there's the part at the end of the show of a matador where they tackle the bull. Yeah. On its head and its horns,
yeah.
It's almost like in a sign of respect to the bull into the crowd. It's showing like I can take what you got. I'm just a man. You're a bull, kind of thing, you know. And the distraction and the speed hump and everything that 2020 is the bull, you know. And everything that's happening, like we should. I'm almost saying like let's just go for it, you know, like tackle it head on. It's like there's been so many hurdles that people have just been like almost fearless in a sense. I almost feel like people are taking way more risks regardless of, you know, the government help and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I'm still thinking, and this again might be the fear part speaking, but I'm still thinking again, I can't help but think that as a collective, there is a global safety net right now.
Yeah.
In thinking that allows people to cushion that the blow of dealing with what they have to face. I feel more in control. Maybe it's just my personality type.
Yeah.
I like to be in control.
Yeah.
So
do I.
I like to know what my situation and circumstances are so that I can navigate it without question.
Mm.
With that being said, I'm also looking forward to what's to come in 2021.
Yeah.
Because looking back, I've realized it was a fruitful year. If it's anything like it was this year, regardless of what the landscape is, and if I can again list out another 30 things at the end of the year that were good, then I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
And
okay.
Maybe going into it, I think what this year will have taught a lot of people is, or given a lot of people, is it would have allowed people to earn their stripes. A lot of people have probably ridden a good wave for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have probably not used to dealing with a lot of things.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people who have dealt with a lot of things got overwhelmed and slumped with a whole lot more.
Yeah.
And it's probably increased their ability to deal with things to the point where maybe in 2021, when something comes up, they'll be able to look back and they'll be empowered to say, well, empowered if I was able to get through last that, year,
exactly.
I can deal with this one too. And I think that...
You've been rounding me off really well today. I think
that's probably the win.
You've been rounding me off really well today. Like, yes, that's perfect. Like, if you can reflect back onto 2020 and look at the challenges, doesn't matter at what scale, it's something different to what anyone's ever been able to experience. So it's like everyone's been fearless to a certain degree.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter what it is that you've been doing.
Mm.
So I just, I don't know. I kind of like, people probably listening to this episode think, well, where are these guys going with this? I don't know essentially where I'm going with them, but essentially what I'm trying to say is it's like you kind of got this sense of like empowerment, this sense of like, fearlessness. You know what I mean?
I think that this year people couldn't be told what they needed to feel. People couldn't be told how they had to deal with things.
Yeah.
People couldn't be told which and what way they needed to navigate. That's the most bizarre thing. Your TV literally just came on by itself.
Yeah, sorry. I think the boys accidentally cast it to the wrong
TV. Oh, okay.
That's right.
And yeah, I don't think people could be told a lot of those things.
Yeah.
So I, on the same front, I don't think we could probably tell people how they have to feel moving forward. And are we, what's the point of this particular show to that point? I don't think we need to tell people what that is right now. I think having listened to this, it's probably navigated some people's minds a little bit so that they can feel what they need to feel, reflect how they need to reflect, and I guess conclude or come up with what this year has meant for them
mm-hmm.
by listening rather than us telling them what it is, because the experience is different for everyone.
Yeah, of course.
But I think by talking about it and saying, well, what are the good things that have happened and what are the challenges that have had happened? How did you as a listener navigate it? What did that mean for you?
Yeah.
We've all had the opportunity to slow down. And for many people, that's now happening again, depending on where they are in the world.
Yeah.
So it's going to continue.
It's like Groundhog Day. It's just still going.
They're going to find themselves in that situation again.
Which again makes you, especially if you're living in this country, in Australia, it makes you feel really fortunate. Like I've got quite a group of Irish clients that come and see me, and they're talking about how they're back into lockdown again, and you know, like nobody can, we're talking about a country where the sun rises at like 8:30, 9 o'clock, and it sets at 3. Like you think about that. Like we're very fortunate in this country that it's like, you know, sun rises at like 4:30 in the morning and sets at like 8 o'clock at night.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So they're going into their winter and they're getting this piled back onto them.
Mm.
So like they're very much still in the thick of it all.
Mm.
But when I'm speaking to them this time around, and I'm like, oh, I ask them, also, how's family back home? They're like, oh, they're doing great. They're doing this. They've figured out a new way how to chat to their families, and they've incorporated new like games in their house. They've got a new software system for school. It's just like
people are more connected than ever.
But they've just adapted.
Yeah, but they're more connected and they're more engaged in each other than ever. It's interesting because I'm a people leader, right? So I've got a team of people. One of the things that kind of came up when people were in the workplace, they were like, so, you know, how are we going to ensure that? And people across many companies were kind of asking the same question.
Yeah.
Like, how are you going to ensure that your people remain engaged during this time?
Mm.
You know, people working from home, they're not able to go in the office. They still need to connect. How are you going to keep them engaged? How are you going to keep the performance up?
Yeah.
I don't know if it was, and this is not to boast or anything like that. I don't know if it was difficult for other people to maintain that with their team, but it has been the easiest time ever in all my career of leading people this year to keep a team engaged
mm-hmm.
and also bring a team closer together than ever before.
Like minimal effort?
Minimal effort.
Oh, wow.
It happened by them by itself almost. Yeah. I don't know whether or not that's how I led.
It just manifested
that
way.
Or it just manifested, or if it was the circumstance. I don't know what it was for other people. I'd be interested whether or not other people had challenges.
Yeah.
But I think the use of technology, the use of being connected all the time, being able to speak to each other, connect remotely, and everyone going through the same experience, we were all on the same path.
Yeah.
And I just feel that the engagement was at an all-time high. The connectivity and bond between the team has been an all-time high.
Mm-hmm.
I've also been in roles before where there's been true challenges in the environment that I've worked in because just of the nature of the role, and that was difficult to keep people motivated. Like difficult because you felt drained because you're trying to navigate the challenges of whatever project we were working on.
Yeah.
And like that was a troubling time. That was hard. It was hard for the team. It was hard for company culture. It was hard for people. But as big as this year has been,
mm-hmm.
it was seem effortless compared to that, which was bizarre.
It's probably
I've
heard that story like, many times with different people as well.
Had you have said at the start of 2020, this is what's about to unfold.
Yeah. It seems unbelievable.
People would be like, there is no way we're going to be able to navigate that. How are people going to be able to deal with that?
Yeah.
And there would have just been an immense amount of doubt.
Well, which amount of pushback as well, though.
It would have.
Yeah.
But again, that probably speaks to the point before. Maybe by just having faith and going with the flow, it might actually be okay
because
we did it now.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
I think you said it well.
I don't know, man. Like,
Sorry, I know I kind of...
It was a deep question.
I'm feeling deep and philosophical.
I didn't think it was
going to
be a deep question, but it was a deep question.
You can kind of answer in a multitude of different ways and, you know... And
it's probably personal experience for a lot of people too.
Yeah,
but I think the collective of what you're saying
I've been trying to collate the information because I speak to so many different varieties of people. And everyone's thoughts and patterns are different. You know, some are skeptical, some are pessimistic, some are optimistic, some are pragmatic. It's just like you get, and you might get like 6 or 7 conversations from a pragmatic person, an optimistic person, a skeptic, you know, like in all, and you're trying to balance all these things and you're trying to naturally find what's right. Do you know what I mean? Trying to kind of see where you fit in. And that's why the big reason why I like what I do is because I feel like I kind of, for me, I'm constantly mentally checking myself at the door. You know, like I try not to have a stance on a lot of different things. But it just, today it funneled into this kind of collective mindset that's like, you know what? Let's just keep punching.
I'll play the role, put the hat on that you usually do and play devil's advocate on you real quick.
Okay.
I would argue that this is a, like we've said this before, double-edged sword. Because for the first time ever, I've also noticed that people have overreacted on many things because they responded to the situation too cautiously. And I've got to be careful what I say now because different people are responding different ways. But in some aspects... They've seen the situation. It's unfolded the way it was, but maybe people got too comfortable with being safe.
Yes,
that can sound dangerous, and people can interpret that in a different way. But what I mean by safe is everyone stay inside. The extreme example, so we, for example, have been told to stay inside and quarantine and everything like that, or don't visit or restrict events and everything like that in Australia. And maybe that's what solved our problem. Maybe the rest of the world's saying, yeah, but that was a good idea. You just did it right. Maybe.
Maybe.
Put that aside. But we've had the restrictions we've had for as low as 5 cases. In New South Wales, 8 million people.
Some would say it's a massive overreaction.
Some could say
it was just like this, it was just like fabricated hysteria.
Other people would say, no, that was the right way. Whether it was right, wrong, whatever.
Whatever.
But for the purpose of arguing my point, if we've got 5 cases out of 8 million, that's a statistically irrelevant number. Mathematically, it's statistic. I'm telling you from a scientific point of view, as a scientist.
Yeah.
It's a statistically irrelevant number.
Yeah.
It's almost that much of a low number.
It won't even come up in some...
It's negligible in pushing... It should be negligible in pushing decisions.
Yeah.
But we use the number to push to make decisions.
Yeah.
I understand from a point of virology that things can go out of control pretty quick.
Yeah.
So maybe a number that small has a significant impact.
Yeah. And it's very much being safe than sorry type attitude.
It is, but there's also needs to be. It also needs to be weighed up against the potential outcome of that risk.
Yeah.
And I think that was just almost low enough as well that we probably could have not reacted as much as we did. Mm. So to that point, the double-edged sword could be. Maybe if we've found ourselves in this situation globally, that we've become too needing to be safe, that we've actually hindered the decisions we make.
Mm.
Maybe we've limited some people in some regard to the point where it's actually had a negative effect.
Yeah.
We've embraced the situation so much and we get comfortable too much that it also makes it difficult to move and people won't actually embrace, this is what I'm trying to get to, why I've explained this whole thing, that maybe being too safe has caused people to lose courage in needing to move forward. And it's interesting because not long ago, our Prime Minister had released a it was like a conference kind of a, what do you call them? when they have like a speech thing and they give out a new, they release like a new thing, a topic that they talk about. I can't remember the thing.
No idea, man. Sorry.
Let's call it a press conference.
Yeah.
Where basically they were talking about changing the funding of the payments that people are going to receive.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
So the first thing they said was...
The budget?
Yeah, it was part of the budget.
Yeah.
The budget announcement. Yeah. And they said... they basically said, look, we are... Some good news. We're going to... Because the payments that the government was giving was supposed to cut off at a certain period of time. It was never going to happen forever.
Yeah.
So they were giving everybody or people who needed it government support.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was planned to last for a certain period of time. So the government came forward and said, we're going to extend the payments. So good news, everyone. We're going to extend the payments. However, we're only going to extend it at half the rate of what you've had it as now.
Yeah. It's forcing people to get off their ass, essentially.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he said that well.
Yeah.
And I was listening in like, I had a moment where I was like, wow, like that's fair enough. It's a good way of probably approaching it.
Yeah.
And the Prime Minister said, we don't want people to kind of, I'm not saying it as a verbatim, but it's something along the lines of like,
you don't want to rely
we can't on get comfortable
yeah.
with our situation. We need as an Australian, as Australians, and this is what we do is we get up and we move on.
Yeah.
You can't stay in the situation forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you made a good point. And that's what I'm trying to say about, could it be a double-edged sword where this situation, albeit being a very good one, could also make people very comfortable.
Especially if it and keeps rely going. On,
again, the safety net
yeah.
to the point where they don't want to make decisions anymore and they're actually paralyzed to make decisions. And they can't use the distraction that you said to its advantage because they get too comfortable. Safe.
Yeah, so he's kind of like he's slowly pulling the cord away. He's
exactly.
like kind of drip feeding it now as opposed to flooding in. It's still there, but like it's only drip feeding, so you're not going to get fed well. Or you can get up off your ass and do something about it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, rather than cause uproar for those who have maybe legitimately not been able to reestablish a new job or career.
Which is a very real thing.
Which is still a very real thing for those people. Not to just completely cut them off as well.
Yeah.
So it's like the best of both worlds.
And I mean, we're very fortunate in this country.
Yeah. I think we're lucky we're a big, massive island.
We are.
The furthest away from like a lot of countries.
Yeah. And I've worked in not-for-profit before. And this might sound a little bit controversial again as well for people who have experienced it. But it's... You can find yourself in Australia very, very, at the very bottom end of a comfort level. You can find yourself in a situation where you are obviously non-privileged, like you're pretty bad off, right? However, there is a lot of security that the government offers that keeps people at large, statistical number of people at large, on their feet.
Let's just say our welfare system is probably the best in the world. Our welfare system is
very good.
Yeah.
A lot of people would disagree with that.
Overall.
But overall, comparatively to other countries,
yeah.
particularly third world countries,
yeah.
we're well off in Australia. So we're fortunate and blessed in that regard. Yeah.
Those for whatever reason, are on welfare, can comfortably be on welfare pretty much for the rest of their lives.
There are cases where people do that.
Yeah.
But if something happens
and the government's and they need okay with healthcare,
they can literally walk into an emergency room,
get treatment,
healthcare,
stay there for a night or two,
world class treatment, and not pay a dime.
Not a dime. Only lose time.
And there are countries out there that would be gasping at that right now.
Oh, yes.
So I empathize with that.
Yeah, so do I.
Because, you know, it's very easy for us to be speaking. You know, because I've seen other countries. This is interesting. I've seen, not to interrupt you, but before I lose my thought, I've seen other countries say that they've pointed us out in the threads that they're talking in.
Yeah.
You know, and they might be from another country where they're like, you know, Australia did it right. Like, we should just follow what Australia did and New Zealand did it right. And I'm an Australian and I'm reading the comment going, guys, like, we're way different to you. You can't even use as an example.
No, you can't.
You can't because there are countries that don't have that support network. And for those people that have found themselves in the situation, when they've really navigated themselves out, kudos to you.
Yeah.
Like, you really deserve to be in the good
You've
that you're in once
serious,
you have.
Serious, serious navigation.
You've done some serious navigation, and I empathize with that, and I commend those who have done that.
Yeah.
because you can't compare Australia to a lot of the places in the rest of the world, and people try and use it. Well, look what we did. We did it right. We're an island where if no one comes
a massive island
is a large body of land surrounded by an even larger body of water.
And we don't have the population density that
27 million people across the entire lot of land.
Yeah.
We're forced to be socially distant because of our land size.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's right. We can we can actually physically be 4 square meters away from people because we actually have the space to do it. And I know most people are thinking, oh, well, anybody can do that. But like, no, but if everybody at exactly the same time were to try and separate themselves 4 square meters away from each other,
yeah,
a lot of those countries in Europe, you couldn't do it.
No.
You physically couldn't do it.
So I empathize with that. And I'll always, to be non-biased and I'll always kind of, I'm happy to sit from both views. We're fortunate, man.
Yeah.
We are. And I think for those in Australia that are so fortunate, I think we almost have, I'd go so far as to say the responsibility
we have the responsibility
to keep pushing forward on behalf of the rest of the world, because if we want to,
we've got the backing to do it.
If we want to, as a globe, the world's been in this together at the same time.
Yeah.
But if we want to get, and I've said this before, if everyone can just get along, everyone just be kind to each other and we do it as a collective unit, we'll be okay.
Yeah.
So I would say Australia has a reasonable enough swing to support part of the rest of the world.
Mm.
We probably have a duty as a race, as a species on this planet, to help where we can, whether it be through emotional support, sharing ideas, manufacturing support, whatever it is, in some way, shape, or form. I don't know what it is, but even if it's just getting up off our feet and just pushing forward so that we don't become a burden on the rest of the world because we are in a fortunate situation, we've probably got an obligation and a responsibility as a people to do that. And I'd probably implore Australians to empathize with the world, and many of them do because that's just what we're like.
Yeah.
But also at the same time, do it justice and be grateful for the situation that we are in as Australians.
Yeah.
And I say that because we've got a reasonable, you know, 62% of our listenership is Australian.
Yeah.
And we're in a fortunate spot.
And we can only speak of what we're experiencing. Like we can be as sympathetic as we possibly can to everyone around the world, but unless you're in it, you can't really sympathize the right way. You can only just go, oh, well, this is what we're going through. This is what we should implore.
Mm.
And I reckon you rounded it up really well.
Yeah. So, with that being said, I mean, I'll certainly embrace
the speed humps.
The speed humps, and
I feel like I'm going to more often. I feel like I'm going to question them differently now. Yeah. I think I've always have been slowly for the last few years, but it's always met with a bit of shit. Like, fuck, what's this about and whatever. Now, kind of really, almost in a sense, and it's almost like become a bit of a game for me. It's like I almost analyze all of them and kind of see where they go, you know? Mm. And I feel like it's a better mindset to have.
Yeah.
And yeah, we took an hour to say that, but yeah, it's essentially what I was getting at.
No, it's good. It was a good podcast. It was a good episode. I quite enjoyed, you know, talking about that.
All right. I feel like I'm ready to tackle something.
It's a good show. Hope everyone enjoyed that episode. If you got any feedback, particularly on that one, because I feel like maybe I've said some things that might spark a few thoughts for people, good or bad, let us know. I'd be curious to, you know, to hear what people have to say about it.
Yeah, 100%.
And what people's experiences are.
And if you wanted to do it, obviously, in the best way to do it is journeytowherever.com.
You can send us an email,
Facebook, hit us up on message, Twitter,
send us a DM on Instagram,
whatever.
Yeah, there's many ways to reach us,
we'll
get your message. Don't worry,
and we'll kind of we'll try our best to answer it in a sense.
All right,
man. That was a good one. It was all deep.
Right. Have a good week, everyone. Episode 63, Journey to Wherever. It's been a pleasure, and we'll catch you on the next episode.
Peace out.
Bye.
Bye. Do you feel tired all of a sudden?
A little bit. You know, it felt
like... I started like...
And you know what I think? I think that was my fault because I did look at it from the other angle as well.
No, but that's what we're supposed to do though. It's our responsibility not to... Not always. Like a lot of the time, I think...
So, sorry if it was a downer at the end. No. It wasn't a downer. No. Like,
philosophically, we have the same mindset, I would agree.
Yeah.
But we have to try at times to kind of try and paint both sides.
Yeah.
Because I always say to a lot of clients, like, they go, oh, what's your show about? I'm like...
That's a good-ass question.
My brother, and I think over time, and you tell me if I'm wrong, and I feel like my brother-in-law and I are professional fence sitters. And because there are people that fence go, oh, no, I like everybody. But we do a good job of sitting on the fence, but looking
at it from both sides.
Yeah, we swing our legs over to situation A and go, okay. And then we swing our legs over to situation B and go, oh yeah, you're good too. But we're sitting on that fence. So yeah. Would you agree?
I think it's a good way to put it. Professional fence sitters.
Ultra professional, like specialist. You know, I'm going to go one step further. We're specialist fence sitters. And that's essentially a good portion of our podcast is we try our best to give both, not necessarily, I wouldn't even say both sides of the argument, just two different ways of looking at things.
Mm.
Sometimes we can't help it, but agree always, like all on the same time. But that's why I like to kind of, and you like to as well, to play that whole devil's advocate thing. So yeah. I think it was good.
But I felt an obligation to say, yeah, we've had a great year. However, let's not get too comfortable.
Yeah.
We have a... obligation to get up and keep pushing forward.
Of course, because we're going to enter a new year and this thing hasn't gone away.
Yeah.
But I was more so, it was more just the meta aspect of going back to an archive of our episode to listen to something and I end up landing on that one like randomly and we end up kind of talking about all these different things and I end up having half a dozen conversations today that talk about the same thing. So it was like, I was meant to talk about this today at the same time as introduce us.
I'll go back and
like professional fighters as well.
Yeah. Good. You threw me off guard. I'm going to go back and listen to the episode.
All right, man. A good one. Let's roll out of here.
Catch ya. Bye.
Bye.